Welcome in my shoes. My name is Chester, and this is the only inspirational podcast there is. Today we walk with a young man who is literally always busy, just getting him on the show today was great fulfillment. Tammy Reed, this remarkable lad also compliments Mr. Russell Mead of Season 2, Episode 1, because they are a twin. Don't forget to head over to the Instagram page to see the faces of all our lovely guests at In My Shoes 7422. All one word. Mr. Mean, how you doing?
Hi, Chester. I am doing fine. I actually have a bit of free time now, so yes, I am doing fine.
Great man. Firstly, tell us, how was life going up?
How was life growing up?
Yes.
Whew. I think I had a really, I don't want to say boring, because whew, there are things that happened and things that I can say that I won't say because then people are not supposed to know that. But
why can't pass it wrong? You want to know everything.
Chester, there are some things that are better left kept as a secret. So I can't give you all everything and I can't give it to you all raw, no.
But I want you for the...
Why doesn't go and ask the politicians and the doctors and the lawyers? I need to give all it raw. Why they coming to put a kind of pressure on me? Honestly, I think that I had a really good childhood and a growing up experience. Although my household was, it wasn't strict to say at all, like, you know, my parents were like really heavy and on rules and stuff, but we more or less had a lot of freedom to do anything that we really wanted. Luckily for my parents, they kind of gave us like a really strong Christian upbringing. So, the things, growing up, I didn't have much desire to, like, do really wild things like partying or drinking or smoking or running down girls and stuff like that. That wasn't really something that was on my mind, per se, because I was so involved in extracurriculars and church and stuff. So, in secondary school, I was in sports constantly. If it wasn't in sports, I was in something musical, whether it was playing pan or singing. Or if it wasn't that, it was being involved in some church activity or church group. And then I was also very active in my church. So by the age of 13, when I was in Form 1, going into Form 2, I was on my church board as one of the assistant leaders for the church evangelical service. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, and for that, that aspect of ministry, we call it personal ministries. So I was the assistant leader, personal ministries leader for my church. And that is not a position that is usually held by a young person. And then just in from doing 1 year of working in my church, I was asked to be the assistant secretary for the personal ministries for the entire North-Northeast zone of the Seventh-day Adventist Conference. So, like, I was always busy. I always had responsibilities. I always had things to do. And I like that kind of fast-paced kind of life. So, it wasn't anything. And as I got older, and I started to realize, well, you know, you're really not normal. Because children your age don't have to sit down in board meetings to discuss finances and how things should be run and execution of programs and stuff like that to increase youth development and stuff. I didn't. Normal kids didn't have those issues. So, like, when I was in, like, around Form 5, heading into Form 6, I started to kind of not wean off, but I wasn't as heavily invested in church.
Yes.
And a lot of the other activities that I was in, I was just chill. Liming was my main priority at life. So, yeah, I think I had a really normal childhood. I think I had a really good normal ideal as childhood. Not too strict, not too free, but, you know, a nice place in the middle where you still had rules to operate in, but you were free to go outside your rules if you wanted, and know that's why you're not going to be so reprimanded, or like the iron fist not going to come down on you. So I think I had a really good normal childhood.
Okay. In my message, you want to house.
That is correct. I did attend the Queen's Royal of the college. But before I actually attended QRC, when I did CX, well, no, SEA, whoo! When I did SEA, I actually passed for Southeast Government Secondary School. And in Form 1, in the second term, one of the teachers approached me and asked me if I was interested in probably going to next school. And he told me about it. And in my mind, I was like, I said, this man is delusional. So I came home. And I told my mom about it under kicks, because I was in disbelief that this man actually thought that I would want to leave Southeast to go QRC. So I was, to me, it was a joke. So I told my parents about it jokingly. And then in the last term of Form 1, after results came out and stuff, I surprisingly to the world, I came first in test, and I was like, wow, okay. So, like, I guess that gave my parents the motivation to really push for me to go into QRC. So, one random day on the summer vacation, my mom just told me, get up, you have to come in town with us today. And I'm like, what happened? You had to go QRC to do a test. And I'm like, what? And I was like, yeah, you're going QRC to do a test. So, when I went to do the entrance exam, I'm not saying that I failed the exam purposely, but there might have been a couple of questions that I didn't put in the correct answers and stuff for spite. Because, like, in my mind, I knew that I didn't want to go there. I wanted to stay in Southeast. I found out I was comfortable. I got acclimatized to how things work. I had people that I considered really good friends. So, like, you know, I was up. That was Southeast. It was a really happy space for me, because I felt like I could express myself freely without really being seen any kind of repercussions. Or, like, it felt like Southeast was a safe space. So to have to leave, or the prospect of having to leave, was terrifying. But the fates had it that they wanted me to go to QRC. And in August, I got the call, or closer to summer, I got the call that I was accepted to the school. And I was like, crap. But QRC did shape a lot of my life and made me who I am today. So I'm appreciative for the experiences that I had at the school.
Okay, quick question. School productions, were you ever a part of those?
So, yes-ish? You know, yes. I should say yes. It's not an ish. It's not an ish, it's yes. So, admittedly so, I wasn't a big part of the QRC artistic scene. So like, when I was at QRM, when I attended QRC, there was a show that was put on by the Old Boys Association / parent, the PTA, called Blue Blood. My second year when I at QRC, you know, Alino. Yeah, no, it was my second year, I was in Form 3. I participated in the Blue Blood concert. Just in the capacity of being a choral member, so I sang with the then school choir in the Blue Blood concert. And then one of my friends, they had like a rhythm section thing, and he told me, hey, you could come and shake something or beat an iron or something in the rhythm section. So I was in that. But in terms of like school productions, I didn't really do anything in QRC. However, when I was in Form 6, I started to experiment and explore music a little more. I was more invested in music. Music was my main attention in terms of extracurriculars. And I really enjoy like chorus music and like group music and stuff. And I was encouraged to audition for, I can't remember the name of the production team, but they did Les Miserables. So I auditioned. I auditioned for the part of Marius and Jean Valjean. I didn't get any of the parts though, but I was everybody's understudy because I basically knew all the music, everything. So like if somebody couldn't come a rehearsal or whatever, I got to fill in for that part on the day and stuff. And it was a fun experience. And that experience actually kind of helped me realize that I don't really want to be a soloist or be the person up in front singing lead and stuff. That is not really my vice. That experience made me really realize that I enjoy chorus music more. And around that time, so I started to do choral conducting and arranging and stuff for my local church choir and some of the smaller musical groups that I was in. So I realized that I liked being in front but not facing the audience with my back turned to the audience. I like calling the shots, not having to execute. So yeah, so I did that school production.
Okay, Onions Mansion, Church, my church, the new fellowship with.
Ooh, the best church in all of Trinidad and Tobago. I fellowship at the Maloney Seventh-day Adventist Church. We are the best Adventist church in the entire of Trinidad and Tobago, and I would like to say in the whole of the Western Hemisphere, we are one of the most loving, most open churches that you could come across. Although in everywhere that you go, you'll have your little people who might rub you the wrong way, but on a whole, the church, my church family, we don't really feel, you don't get a feeling of animosity or not being welcomed. The welcome persons. We have a very welcoming bunch. We like the vibes. We like fun. We like competition. So like, you know, the vibes in the place is a nice vibe. So anybody who's listening, you should check us out. Come and visit. When you know, when the COVID done, or you can just search for us on YouTube or something, you will find me. He's a fun bunch. And we like winning.
I we going on over time, yeah, now, but I'm one to ask you mentioned call speaking. And you're one of your previous as a quality.
That's okay.
So you messed up. Were you in any choirs or bands?
Ooh, Chester. So at a point in time, my friends used to call me a choir ho, because I used to sing with everybody. So, but the choirs that I will call like my home choirs that I will actually rep would be first and foremost my church choir, Dabri Choral. If any of my church people actually see this and they, I don't mention this name.
Gone.
If any of my church peeps actually ever see this or hear this podcast and I don't mention it, I probably would get a lot of heat. So I have to mention the first real official choir that I've ever been a part of. That was the Neo Genesis choir or Neo Genesis.
Oh, yes, I remember that name and my research.
Jesus, I need to ask you about your sources and stuff, but that will be after. So I was a part of Neo Genesis. This was the first real choir that I was a part of. Then it was my second home church, W, and so that was in W Choral. I did different stints in QRC, so I was in the school choir when it was at a school choir. Then we had a little small group that we used to sing with sometimes. And then there was a group called Heaven Send that I used to sing with. Then there was a group called Pulse that I kind of had a short stint with. Then I joined the Eastern Youth Choral. That was the first time that I actually experienced community choral singing. So being there exposed me to a huge weight range of music that I've never explored before. That really kind of got me going. And that was also around the time when I was doing the play with First Productions and stuff. So, when I participated in Les Miserables, so there was that. And then from there was a bunch of other like small church groups and stuff that if they invited me to, they were having something and they needed an extra male voice or something, I would go and sing with. Then the next real major group that I joined was the Lydian Singers. There's my current choir home. But apart from that, I'm also currently the musical director of, vocal director for one of my church bands called Fathom Praisers. But I've worked with a bunch of other choirs and groups in and around the East-West corridor. So, to mention, like, every single thing would be kind of hard, but, yeah.
Have you ever tried songwriting?
Oh, dear Jesus. So, I have dabbled in songwriting a little bit. It first started when I did music for CXE, and one of the components is that you have to like arrange, you arrange a piece or compose a piece, and for my composition, I actually wrote an original song called In the Morning. Jesus, no. But apart from that, I did write like a couple other songs, but songwriting is another thing. I think I'm a much stronger arranger than a songwriter. Mainly because for me, when I approach an arrangement, I approach it in terms of the persons that I intend to have perform the piece. So I would arrange from that standpoint. Whereas opposed to when you're composing, you know, you have to generate everything from scratch. I think I work better once I have like a foundation to work with, so I can mend that and mold that to suit and shape whatever I'm trying to achieve. But to compose, it had to pull out so much from you that I, honestly, I've never really been able to get myself to that place. So, I did have a stint in spoken word. So,
yes.
I used to write poems at a point in time. Oh dear Lord! And there was a point in time I used to like, you know, Facebook had this feature, I could post notes. I used to like have notes and stuff like, oh my God.
that was my next question, actually. So, good job with that. Thanks for doing my work for me. tell us about your first performance.
So So I don't remember much of my about my first performance, because I'm pretty sure my first performance would have been in church, probably singing Make Me a Servant. That was like back when I was small, that was like the go-to song for all the little children. Like every little child that had to go and sing, they always go and sing this song. And but back then I didn't have much sense of competition. So to me I was like, oh, okay, well I just go and sing Make Me a Servant. And then there was a time that my little niece went and sang it, and I distinctly remember the reaction of the church. And I was like, but they never get on. So for me, so in my head, I'm thinking, all right, the next time that I have to go and sing, I'm not going to sing Make Me a Servant, I'm going to sing a next song that going to get the general, the same kind of response.
Jealous.
Whatever, I was young and dumb. And I remember I went and sang a song and I still didn't get a reaction. So I'm thinking, okay, well, all right, you can't. I probably can't out-sing her, but I probably is the second best singer in the church. And then you know what? Boom shotter next week. These fellas named Jareen and Nathaniel, they could have really sing. They went and sing a song and everybody in church went wild, and I'm just like, so y'all not seeing me here? Like I went and sing too, and I never get that. But if I have to think about first major performance, I think my first like major performance that I could actually, I would actually know, want to note and be made noteworthy, I think it would have been for Sandfest. In Form 1 when I was in Southeast, I sang with choir in Southeast and when they went up for Sandfest. And the reason why I would want to note this performance is because when we were singing, we sang the song from R. Kelly, I Am a Mountain, that song, right? I didn't have the lead, but they gave me a harmonic line to sing by myself. So that's why... World's Greatest.
Yes.
They gave me my own harmony to sing, and I was the only person that got to sing that line, so I felt really special. So, yeah. So that's one of the first noteworthy performances I have. Ooh, another performance that I actually remember was in primary school. I used to sing Calypso. And they gave me this song. I'm trying to remember the name. Boy Days. To be honest, I didn't really like the Calypso, but I like the fact that if I was doing it, I was getting to come be out of class and miss school. And sit down in those tents and halls and auditoriums waiting long, 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 long to do your audition. So just the fact that I was out of school, I was in it. And then I didn't place. Well, I got to like one or two competitions, but I never really placed in like the top three or anything like that. I came in like seventh and eighth. But whether that was no problem, because I wasn't really much of a competitor back then. But any opportunity to not be in class, I used to jump at it. So that was also probably a noteworthy performance as well.
Okay, this was a fun walkthrough time with Mr. Tareed. We are actually 14 minutes over time.
Oh dear. So well, if you all interview my mother and that interview didn't go more than 20 minutes or more than 2 hours over time, then something wrong, because my mother could really talk.
Yeah. Entire interview was an hour.
All right, I'm making good time then. Once I pass our time, we okay.
Okay, so we go for a break now, and we'll be right back with us interview. You're not telling people something.
Yes, I would like to tell you all to breathe, relax, and push out.
This podcast is brought to you by the amazing people at Anchor. Anchor is a free app where you can not only listen to your favorite podcasters, but you can become one yourself. Anchor will also distribute your podcast among other platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn. Download the Anchor app today.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Me and on in my shoes. Remember, this is the only inspirational podcast there is. And we sit here with Mr. Terry Reed, and this time he's going to give us a little insight in his pre-COVID performance life. Mr. Reed, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Justin. I'm glad to be back. Alia still here. So, pre-COVID.
Mean, and what age you started performing?
So, the thing is that when you're Adventist youth, when you're a child of in the Adventist church, you don't really have much of a choice about when you start performing. Because there's something called junior church, and in particular, there's something 13th Sabbath. So the 13th Sabbath of every quarter, that's basically the last Saturday in every quarter in the year. That program is usually, or that day is kind of usually left for the little children to put on the do the run-ins of the day. So
it's like a kid will domination.
Something like that, a kid will domination, yeah. So you don't really have much of a choice. So as long as I could remember myself and 13 Sabbath, you always had something to do. So whether it is that is singing with the group, or you have memory verses to go up and recite, or if you have to go and do choral speaking or storytelling, or the acting and whatever little play that they come up with, you had no other choice but to go and do it. I remember seeing children like up on the stage and they're crying, but you had to do it. So it's ever since I was a wee little lad.
Tell us about your vocal coaching. Have you ever gotten that done, and by whom?
So I've never officially completed or had like a full vocal coaching regimen. Because my focus really wasn't on being a soloist, I never really pursued much vocal training for myself. However, I have attended like different workshops and seminars and, you know, attended the University of the YouTubes to like find out about different vocal techniques and stuff that you can use to help shape and build choral singing. And currently, right now, one of my core group of friends, they are all well-established musicians in their own right. So there's Carl Hines. I'm just going to call it Carl Hines, because they have plenty of middle names and I don't want to butcher it. Look, there's Carl Anthony Hines. There's something else inside there, but I can't remember. But there's him. He's currently the musical director of the Lydian Singers. He gives me a lot of tips and tricks, and I learn a lot of stuff from him. There's also Mr. Michael Hudlin, who just completed his master's in choral directing at a university in the USA. I know I should know the name, but I can't remember the name. He also gives me a lot of advice and tips and tricks and helps me out a lot. There's also Mr. John Thomas. He is the musical director/founder of the Eastern Performing Arts Fraternity. he kind of gave me my start in real, and I'm going to say real choral singing in Trinidad, because he is under him. I kind of was exposed to many different musical genres and approach to music and stuff. And I, if you ever see me conduct a rehearsal, and you visit one of his rehearsals, you would see that there are definitely a lot of similarities on how I approach stuff. There's also Mr. Victor Prescott. He was the musical director for Les Miserables. And he was also guest conductor for the Lydian Stingers at my time there. So I had a lot of opportunity to kind of learn different musical styles and techniques and approaches from a wide range of persons. I also had spent some time I believe the name of it is Principal Ruby Ministries or Academy. I can't remember the full name right now, but I think it's PVM is the acronym. That's a vocal school based in Samoan Central, and they have a really cool musical program. I was unable to complete it because their classes were on Saturdays, and I was directly conflicting with my church responsibilities at the time, so I couldn't really commit it to 100%, but that was a cool thing. I also spent some time, I had a brief stint with Vanessa Briggs Vocals Academy. They're also really good, especially if you're interested in contemporary and gospel singing.
Yeah.
They are really good as well. And just Vanessa probably doesn't know this, but just like observing her and vibes, just observing her alone, I learned a lot. I learned stuff from that.
Yeah.
And in general, I like the art. So I also like being in charge. So like, I've learned a lot of different things and techniques watching other people deal with different groups of people, and then me having to interact or me being a part of different groups, seeing how the person in charge would have conducted or coordinated the group. I'm like, I said, all right, if I deal with these type of personalities, this is a good technique I could use. All right, if it's that I have this set of voices, and I'll be doing this particular kind of sound, if I want to achieve this, these are some of the things that I might have to employ to make sure any group that I'm working with, or any individual that I'm working with, achieve that particular sound.
Okay, and let's go back to office segment just for this question. Do you regularly perform at church?
It depending on the time period that you want to look at, then the answer will be yes. If you're looking at the more recent years, like, you know, and even counting 2021, like, let's say, like, 2020.
Yeah.
So, the 2000 to 2010, yes. Frequent church, I don't want to say church performer, but frequently ministered in church.
Yeah.
2010 to 2005, yes. 2010 to 2015, yes. 2015 to like about 2017, still yes, but not as frequent. I shouldn't say not as frequent in my church, because at that time, so you know, you're starting to make friends and stuff in other churches and other denominations and stuff. So you know, you're going to experience what other places have to offer. So that, and then by 2018. I wasn't too big up or too much on the church scene. I would still go once I have the invitation, or once a group that I'm affiliated in had an invitation or a gig or asked me to come out, I would go. So like from 2018 to probably the start of COVID, my primary primary engagement in churches would only be if my church choir had an engagement, or the band that I was particularly working with at the time had an engagement in the church.
Okay. One word use as your most memorable performance.
Whew. So there are different tiers than this.
Okay, so let's put this episode on the Patreon.
So my most memorable solo performance would definitely have to be my most memorable solo performance as a singer would definitely have to be at church. It would be at church. I sang one of my original songs, and
my chance called.
It was inspired by Kurt Franklin. Is the name of the song that I'm trying to remember that keeping me back. But anytime I look, looking out for me, right? So it was inspired from Kurt Franklin song looking out for me. So I did that song at church and it was well received. Tied with that would be the first time I actually sang something that is closer to the classical realm. That happened actually last year, I sang in church. The name of the song is Simple Song. And it was composed by Mr. Bernstein. I can't remember if the first name is Charles, but I'm just going to leave it as the last name, Bernstein, or Bernstein, according to how you want to pronounce it. The first time I heard Simple Song was one of my musical somebody that I look up to musically, Mr. John Thomas. He sang it for his recital, and ever since I heard it then, I was obsessed with the song.
When you ever late for performance.
Just that I was like asking, like if my skin black and that I'm not, that I have been late to countless performances, which is kind of shame. Sometimes it's purely my fault and then other times it would be because of situations that were just way beyond my control. But I have literally run out of cars and just run on stage. I have literally run from... There was this one time I had a performance with Lydians in the Savannah and I was at work. And they were giving me a hard time to leave because of resources, whatever the case is. And like they called me and it was like, we're lining up and we're starting to walk. We're going on stage next, and I just took off my headset and I just darted out of the building, ran from Digicel head office on Marival Road straight across Marley Street, cut across the Savannah to get to the Queen's Park, to get to the stage to go on stage with Lydian. And mind you, while running, I had to be dressing as well. That was a whole scene and a half, but I made it out of breath, looking a little sweaty. But I made it. Yes.
Okay, so me going for a break now. And me'd also like to thank Mr. Reed. We're going on chess. 4 minutes over time.
I'm doing better, yes.
So, we'll talk to him when we come back. And who knows, he might have a little surprise for us up his skin. I can't see his sleep. Bareback.
Chester, the people did not need to know that. Now they're going to be looking to see if they can find my bareback pictures or something online. Chester, we can't have that, Chester.
Aye, that says, and my shoes will be right back.
Do you need a bit of inspiration? Well, you've come to the right place. In My Shoes is a place where we discuss the goals, accomplishments, and struggles faced by ordinary people like you.
Hi, welcome back to In My Shoes. Remember to be sure to check out our Instagram at In My Shoes 7422. Mr. Reed, since COVID, let's talk about the dreaded half almost. What do you do now?
Besides eating and getting fat, I have basically been a slave to work. Like, literally, what I do is eat, sleep. Number two, sing occasionally and work. Like, there is just nothing really big or much happening. At a point in time, I started to kind of exercise, you know, to kind of get myself looking a little sexy, but Rowley went and shut down everything and put me in a lockdown. So I couldn't really exercise anything again, and I really don't like the home exercising and exercising by myself.
Well, go on, eat some fun.
But Chester, that was that still banned. Unless you remove those restrictions, that did all them thing was banned. You couldn't go and exercise in public.
We're under a curfew. Just come back home early.
No. But anywho's, that is besides the point. But no, basically I've just been working.
Didn't you sleep?
Yes, some can call me a digi slave. Yes, some can call me that.
Yes, my research showed that.
We really need to have a talk after about your sources and what information you got, you obtained, because you're not supposed to be knowing about those things.
Tell us about your last performance.
Pre-COVID?
Your last performance, it doesn't matter.
Okay. Oh, yes. My last performance was this year. I think it was in April-ish. Probably closer to me. I can't remember the exact date. But it was from one of my friend's shows, Mr. Corey Mendez. Check him out. You can check him out on Instagram, on Facebook. Corey Mendez Tenor. He is really good. And he was having a fundraising show to, raise funds for, like, school and stuff. Because he's starting his master's and stuff. And, you know, with the whole cutting gates, he had to self-fund himself.
Yeah.
So, then he was having a show to raise funds. And he asked me to be a part of his cast, and I was like, okay, well, sure, I haven't had a reason to dress up and look good for forever, so you know, I'm taking the opportunity. So yeah, I sang a song by myself. I sang A Heart Full of Love from Kevin Lever, and I also sang as a part of an ensemble called V.I. Coda. And we did a song arranged by one of our members, and I had a little solo part in it, so that was a little fun. Yes, that was nice.
Do you think you'll ever perform again post-COVID?
Ty's asking, like, if I don't intend to breathe oxygen, of course. I'd be once, like, you all have no idea how performers Oh, especially people who love being on stage and like the atmosphere of the theater and stuff. How are we struggling right now? Like, I had to find a whole new way to develop and cope with stress and stuff, because usually being able to perform and stuff like that, that was my outlet, that was my opportunity to, you know, release any emotional baggage and stuff that I had been carrying around.
Yes.
Not being able to perform now is like hard. And a lot of people will come and argue and say, well, no, look how much online platforms that have go make TikTok videos and stuff, but it's not the same. It really isn't the same. The energies and the vibe is not the same.
What about outside Trinidad? Do you have you ever ventured those platforms, and do you intend to?
I haven't, well, I performed once when I, not last year, 2019. I went to church with one of my mothers. Well, my kinda like my second mother. I went to church with her and we was in church and the service and stuff going on. And I was just there like singing like normal, because it's church, so I just singing like normal. And there was a point in the service, like everybody stopped and like it was just my voice alone and everybody's like, he could sing. And I'm just like, shh. And they asked me to sing, and I went up and I sang. So, but again, because I've never really thought of myself like as a soloist, so like anything like that, I've never really tried to seek international platforms like that, in that aspect. But I did enter an arranging competition many moons ago, and thinking about it, like that's something that, whew, I hope never surfaces, because that submission was messy, but God is good.
Now, in our first segment, you mentioned you are part of a band. Would you like to share the band name and the origin of that name with us?
Sure. So I am a member of Fathom Praisers. I'm the vocal director for Fathom Praisers. Fathom is just an acronym for our cluster of churches. So Fathom stands for Five Rivers, Aruka, Dabadi, and Maloney. So that's just the simple genesis of it. Our group of churches, we make up one district, called the Fathom District, and we, because the members of the band can all hail from one of the respective churches, whether it be a vocalist or keyboardist or instrumentalist, tech person.
Yes.
We like, to keep it simple, not to overcomplicate it, we just call ourselves Fathom Praisers.
And how do you become a member of this band?
So the band doesn't necessarily have an open membership, but I will say that we have an open call for sopranos, because due to the pandemonium that we currently experience, and our two sopranos had to withdraw from the group to ensure that everything is okay on their end. So we kind of need sopranos or any strong female vocalist, really. We would accept you in open arms, so we don't really have like an open door policy. But if it is that you're interested in being a part of us, you could reach out to us and we would pass the information on, or you could reach out to me, sorry, and I can pass the information on to the actual band leader, who would take the necessary steps from there.
Okay.
Huh?
And now, mess. Mr. Timmy Mead will sing Encourage Yourself as a little treat for us. Just come with
us.
Okay, so let's put this episode
on the Patreon.
Sometimes you have to encourage yourself. Oh, sometimes you have to speak victory, throughing the test. No matter how you feel, just speak the words and you would be healed. Encourage yourself, speak over yourself in the Lord, the Lord.
Why do you have any last words? Tell me what our audience tonight.
My last words would be, live life without any regrets, and as I stated before, breathe, relax, and push out.
And what does that mean?
Basically, it means that how to always remember that how you mightn't be able to control what is happening to you, but you can control your response to it. So breathe, take it, stop, and gain back control of yourself. That is the purpose of the breathing. Relaxing is to help you to remind you that, okay, well, hey, despite all this external stimuli, or despite whatever situation that you're going through, you shouldn't let it worry you and bother you and have you, all worked up and flustered and anxious. So just relax. And then the purpose for the film pushing out is because to push something is usually something intentional. So we want to push out any kind of negative energies and any kind of negative reactions. And we want to make sure that our response to any situation is something that is always intentional, so that's why we push out.
Okay, thank you for that. Keep smiling, keep your shoes on, keep walking. Good night, everybody.
Good night and goodbye.